welcome to episode 176.
Season 7, episode 22.
Of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
And the other Mr. P.
Welcome back. We hope you have enjoyed your well-deserved Easter break. Apologies. We were planning on bringing you an episode the week before last, but I was not very well. So we couldn't get it in there. And obviously with it being Easter holidays, we didn't have an episode last week. And then we've managed to fit one in towards the end of this week, even though my school's back in and you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's starting to annoy me a little bit about how different schools, because it used to be different authorities would have different holidays, but now it's just like school to school, choose. But anyway, I hope you've had a good rest. And it's been quite a busy, it's been quite a busy week for myself as my school got the call.
I think everyone is rejoicing. Yeah. Not in like a harsh way.
No.
I think it's kind of like, put your money where your mouth is. Did you punch the Ofsted inspector?
No. I'm a bigger person. No, to be fair, and I'll be honest, the three inspectors we got were absolutely sound. Like, I can't...
Did you meet him, yeah?
Yeah. So
did they know you?
One did, yeah. One was a head teacher and I'd been into a school.
You'd been into their school?
Yeah, a few years back.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, oh, you, Mr. Parkinson, you've been in my school. So, do you know what? All three of them were old head teachers or ex-head teachers, should I say. And, you know, they were fair. It was one of them where... So this is the point, and I suppose in a way this is where the problem lies, is when I tweeted that we'd got the call, I was inundated with messages and tweets back basically saying, good luck. And I was just thinking, that's literally what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Is it is just a lottery as to whether you get some of the good inspectors.
Yeah.
And look, I always make it clear, I think there's plenty of inspectors who are great, who are doing the job with the right intentions, who are doing it because they want to help and support. But we all know there are some inspectors out there who are bad eggs and mm-hmm. shouldn't be doing that job because it is such high stakes and it's so, you know, that you've got to have a certain way of dealing with things that isn't intimidating, undermining, and so on. So yeah, when we met the three inspectors and they sort of introduced themselves to our staff, we were sort of like, I think the head and deputy base said to me, like, we're all right here, we're okay. And I mean, I don't know what the results are, I'm waiting for an email, but as far as I'm aware, you know, it was all right.
It was a solid one.
Well, this is the thing but again, since I tweeted it, I've had a couple of messages on Instagram from other schools that have had Ofsted in this week saying it's been an absolute nightmare. Just saying, like, I hope you've not had it as bad as we've had. You know, the Ofsted inspectors have been condescending. They've been asking questions to try and catch us out, etc. So, you know, that's the problem, innit? But what's been really funny is... when I was in school yesterday, I got an email from the producer of the News Agents podcast.
Okay.
So News Agents podcast is like one of the biggest podcasts in the UK. They do daily episodes. And they sort of basically said, would you be interested in coming on and talking about your experiences of Ofsted? And I was like, I've literally got them in my school at the minute. So I did that earlier today. Yeah, that was interesting. So I had to do it over Zoom because obviously I couldn't get down to London, and it's I think I don't know how they're going to edit it. The episode's not out yet. So basically, as far as I'm aware, they've had Julia Waters, Ruth Perry's sister, on mm-hmm. first. So I actually spoke to her on the phone before we did the interview.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And she's just been incredible for the way she's spoken out, and you know. She's really impressive, like how she's been able to do it so composed and so well is unbelievable. So I spoke to her, and then they had me on virtually, and then they had the head of Ofsted in after me.
So you didn't have any chat with the head of Ofsted?
Did not have any correspondence. But I know I can pretty much guarantee what I think will happen is everything that I was saying, so everything that I was suggesting...
To the head of Ofsted.
Yeah, well, and he's just going to bat it away with the sort of like, no. So I was saying that you won't find any teacher that thinks Ofsted in its current form is a consistent, constructive...
force for good.
And a force for good. He'll say the opposite. He'll go, actually, most of the teachers we speak to think it is a good... And it's like, you know, so... I mean, I don't know. It was interesting. And they gave me a bit back. So when I was sort of saying certain things, they'd come back at me and... which was interesting. So
did you hold your own though?
I hope so. I think the problem that I had was they were like, we've only got like 10 minutes. So in my head, I was like, right, I've got to get as much in that time. Mm. And I probably rambled a little bit too much, but which isn't like me, is it?
No.
Not at all.
Your dulcet tones.
Yeah. So, we shall see. We'll see what the episode is like, how they edit it. So yeah. But, other than that, like the inspectors were fine and the you know. So I'll tell you what it's like, right? This is the analogy I've conjured about my experience of Ofsted. It's like being severely, severely constipated, right?
Right.
So you know at some point you're going to have to poo. The pain, the most painful part comes from the waiting, right? Yeah. As time goes on, it becomes more painful. You're starting to worry more. And then eventually you have to get it done. But it can come out of nowhere. Could come when you least expect it. And then you've got to have the poo. And then it's you know, again, it can be even more painful.
Bit of a strange analogy.
No, but it is though, isn't it? It's like you can go to the toilet and it can be quite painful.
Would TA's support staff be a laxative, maybe?
Potentially.
Could they help ease?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, ultimately at the end of the process, you don't feel like you've improved as a person. You're not a better teacher.
And you're covered in shit.
No, but you are relieved.
Yeah. Relieved. A weight has been lifted.
Absolutely. So that's what I think it's like. It's like being constipated. And at the end of it, it's either, oh dear, there's even more problems now.
Yeah.
Or hemorrhoids. Just pure relief. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've come to conclude.
So is it like, so if you got rated, what is it, room to improve? What is it now?
So you've got outstanding.
So outstanding would be one wipe.
Yeah, potentially. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Like one wipe, no worries.
Inadequate, you just skids
inadequate
everywhere.
Inadequate, piles.
Yeah. There's a lot of trauma afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so... So I think, you know, just what I've ended up with is a standard,
yeah.
You know, we're all clean.
Nice.
Weight's been lifted.
Didn't need to shower after.
Yeah. and we can get back onto the actual, you know, the most important thing, which is teaching. See, that's the thing, like so much of what Ofsted expects and, you know, the workload. My point, what I tried to say on the podcast was around the workload and how Ofsted need to take responsibility for creating, you know, the system that is forcing so many teachers to leave. So, you know, we'll see.
The other thing, I'll throw an analogy at you as well, right? You see, like, so you said that the three inspectors that you had this week were all old head teachers. Now, if you're a head teacher, then going to work for Ofsted, you'd like to think if they were your inspectors, they know the pressure. They know the kind of toxicity that may come with it. So they will have, so it's like, this argument that former players should be working in the VAR room in football because they know the game, they know the sport, they know the rules. Whereas if you get someone who's not very sporty, doesn't really know kind of what the passion of the game's like, different situations, then they make
bad
calls.
I'd say you maybe should have at least... But can you guarantee that all ex-players know the rules to the letter of the law?
The letter of the law.
So you probably need a mix, don't you?
Yeah.
Need one or two. But, you know, we could have quite... I'll tell you what we had a conversation about is the three inspectors we had, obviously ex-primary head teachers, were female.
Okay.
And we were sort of saying, what demographic do you think's the worst type of inspector? And we were saying older men.
Right,
if you've got like
grumpy.
Like the sort of attitude of just grin and bear it, you know.
Yeah.
What stress?
Man up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were, I'll be honest with you. I thought, what was interesting though was a lot of tweets came in when I'd said we'd got the call about, oh, they've seen your videos and because literally within the last week, I've made two quite scathing videos about Ofsted. One around the NEU's conference. So the National Education Union had their conference last week. They've put together this what's the word? It's not going to be a strike, but a movement to abolish Ofsted. Right. Now, abolish is probably the wrong word to use, if I'm being honest. It should be reform Ofsted, but they're not going to want to use that word given the connotations elsewhere. So I made a video about that, and basically what teachers want is not that we don't want to be accountable, but we want a fair process. And then Ofsted have said they're doing an independent review into how they dealt with the Ruth Perry incident, well, the tragic incident there. And they want an independent review, but do you know who they've put in charge of that independent review?
Go on.
The old head of Ofsted.
Right. So
there's questions about how independent is it going to be when you're pretty much marking your own homework.
So it's like a Mockstead, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. There was one thing I just really wish I'd put into the interview. You know, when you afterwards and you're like, God, I wish I'd said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was about the complaints. So if you feel you've been done, you know, you've had one of these bad inspectors, the inspection's gone really, really poorly and unfairly, there's no one you can reach out to or complain to, because if you complain about Ofsted, do you know who deal with the complaints?
Ofsted.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't manage to get that in, so I'm really annoyed at that. But anyway, other than that, I've just come back from a meeting with the guys at TeachMate.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling them about your interview with BBC Merseyside.
Oh, yeah.
And how you did a little bit of free PR for the old TeachMate.
I know, I was glad you listened, actually. I didn't realise you were going to listen, because obviously I didn't know if you could get it. But yeah, I did a little radio spot. You couldn't do it, could you? They wanted us both
but you
were travelling. And it was all to do with our last show of the tour, which is coming up this Saturday.
Yeah.
Should be an absolutely awesome weekend in Liverpool with the Grand National on as well.
Yeah.
I think the atmosphere is going to be absolutely buzzing. The producer at BBC Radio Merseyside was saying, like, you know, what a weekend to do it,
because
everyone will be in great spirits. Now, obviously, if you win.
I think there are still a couple of tickets available. So 6 o'clock on Saturday. I'm hoping this is going to go out beforehand.
Well, yeah, you'd like to.
You'd like to think. Yeah. So still a couple of tickets available if you go to twomrpspodcast.com. Carry on.
Yeah, and so then we just had a really good chat. I enjoy doing the radio stuff. Like, I do. Got the face for it. Yeah, classic. but yeah, it was great. And then it was just that the radio presenter just kind of gifted me that opportunity. And I thought, you know what? Go on then.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were talking about reports and how long it takes. And then, yeah, I got a little bit.
Because she was basically saying that. She was gobsmacked at the fact one of her friends is a teacher and just writes reports and then just puts names to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
That's report writing.
Yeah, yeah. So it was interesting because obviously last year when we'd released TeachMate and we'd done the report writer and there was loads of teachers using it, we got quite a bit of neggy feedback from parents actually, like, I cannot believe that, I can't believe you're letting AI write reports. This is ruining this whole experience for me. And like I always think, in my head I think it, but I can never reply on social media because, you know, you can't argue with anyone online. But I was so tempted to go, if you think this is the first time teachers have tried to cut corners with writing reports that they have to do in their own time unpaid, you're living in a dream world. The reports you're reading for your child for the past few years were probably originally written for a child in like 1998.
Yeah, yeah.
What the TeachMate's done is allow the teacher to make it more personalised. So the feedback we get from teachers is they're writing the most personalised set of reports because you've still got to put in the positives, what the child's doing well, what the targets and areas for improvement, and the AI then just tidies it up for you and streamlines it a little bit. So actually it's more personalized. The AI is just doing a bit of the heavy lifting with,
I think it's great, because like you said, it's not just like AI writing random stuff. You're entering the child and their abilities and their strengths and what to improve on, and it's just basically a time saver, isn't it?
So the way I keep talking about the AI is like, it won't do the thinking for you, but it can do the doing, you know? So, but we had a meeting because we've got some really exciting things to improve the report writing, because once you get past SATs, we've got that on the horizon. But anyway, have you been keeping,
you know,
how's
what?
Your Easter been?
I'm starting to get the fear, because we have got the show on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to that, to be fair. But I'm starting to feel a little bit down, because in terms of Easter holidays, this has been up there for me as one of my favourite ever. Genuine.
Yeah.
As anyone who follows me on the socials will know that I went to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Early last week.
With your kids?
With my kids, yeah. And it was incredible. It was probably up there in the best 3 days of my entire life. Genuine. Not only because my kids just loved it, and Max, who, as many of you will know, is like non-verbal autistic, but he's doing really well at his new school. He's making really big strides, and he went, and Disney is so inclusive. I mean, they are unreal. Like he got like a priority pass because he can't queue. You know this. Like Max can't queue because he doesn't understand why he can't just get on the ride. But he is mad for rides. Like I've never known a child like it. This kid did the Tower of Terror 3 times. Now, you know the Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
It's a pretty scary ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For an adult, it's a scary ride. And what was funny was there was a... you know, they play like a, what do you call it? Like theme, hotel kind of concierges or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like scary ones, don't they, in the Tower of Terror? Like, enjoy your ride and all this. Yeah. One of them came out and I'm stood there holding Max's hand. And this like dead, like creepy woman with one of those hats on was like, is it your first time on the Tower of Terror? And I was like, nah, it's his third. And Max just went, let's go! Which he kept saying when we were there. Honestly, I well up thinking about it, because he was... And then I put out a video, which I hope you've seen, where the kids met Cinderella.
Yeah.
And it was the first ever time that Max went to kiss Cinderella on the cheek. I mean, even he's not done it with any of us. Like, you've seen him at Nana's. He'll put his head there, you'll kiss him, and then he'll wipe it off. Whereas he initiated the kiss to Cinderella, and I was like, go on, son. Go on. That was incredible. And then we got back, and I think this worked great. It was because obviously we got back and then we were still off for 2 weeks.
Childless.
No, the children have been back in this week, so we've had a nice chill this week. But last Thursday, I want to give a shout out to Steph McCluskey now, because she was married on Thursday, an avid listener of the podcast since
Congratulations.
Day one. So Steph and Stuart, old friend. Now they are, and I put this out, they are the third couple to get married from my old primary school. So like me and Kim obviously met at the school and got married. Then we had two friends called Ellie and Wooly, and then they met at the school.
Are they the ones that live in...
They live in Vietnam
Qatar.
Now, I think.
Oh, Vietnam.
Yeah, they moved from Qatar. Yeah. So they met at the school and then they got married, and then Steph and Stuart met at the school and they got married. So there's something in the water at that primary school.
Yeah.
And the wedding was incredible. I had such a good laugh. Cotney John even made an appearance at the wedding.
Did he?
Yeah, and someone told me a crazy story, and it's only just come to me now. And because someone knew the podcast and was kind of saying like, oh, I love your podcast. And I was like, oh, thanks. Really? Yeah, so at the wedding, someone was talking to me and they said, I've got a funny one from school. And I was going, you know, a lot of people do that, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's hit and miss quite a lot of the time.
Yeah,
but
this
was juicy.
Right, okay.
So a teacher at this guy's primary school called Mr. Booth. In the whole 8 years that this guy was in primary school, he married and divorced three teachers in that school.
From the same school?
From the same school.
Bloody hell.
Can you credit that? I mean, you talk about all these crazy shows. Surely that's some of there, like for a reality show.
Like a
show.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix documentary
of just like, yeah, Mr. I don't know what you'd call it. I mean, sex ed would be the easy one, but
I know, yeah.
He's
yeah.
already.
I can't think. But yeah, this. I mean, that's
crazy, isn't it?
How's he finding the time? It's a different word. I'm taking this as a while ago.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This he's probably pre-Ofsted.
Blaming Ofsted for no love.
No love. You've got time on your hands back in the day.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Don't ever let any old teacher ever tell you that they had it worse than us, because if they've got time to get married, divorced three times.
I just wonder, you know, when someone gets married, I mean, we've had a lot of staff at my school. There's been like two or three weddings a year at my school, you know. And you always make a big deal of it. So I had a teacher I worked with in year five. She was getting married and I put on like a little bit of a wedding breakfast in the hall with the kids, got the kids to sing Love Story by Taylor Swift. It was pretty nice, to be fair. I was buzzing with it. Plus I love that tune and I was belting it out.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if with that guy, like when he was first marrying the first teacher, everyone was like, "Wait, like let's go out and let's do this and let's do a big assembly." On the third one, Jake, people were like,
"Oh, I can't make it,
Pat. Do you know what? I'm gonna skip."
Yeah, busy.
But yeah, so we had great time, and then obviously had a great day yesterday. Charlie, who again is an avid listener to the podcast, he travelled up from London. For that day, if you remember going back to the February half term, I had a day planned where it was Flight Club, the Cube, and then Charlie pulled his neck at the gym and couldn't come.
Okay.
So we rearranged that day. So we did the Cube yesterday, and it was me and Charlie against two of our mates, you know, Jimmy and Slev.
Yeah.
And it was tight. It was dog eat dog in the Cube. But we got to the game. I can't remember what the game was called, but it was where you had to throw the bricks to each other.
And
just pile them up. So me and Charlie...
Me and Claire got to the last one of that, and then we threw two bricks that hit each other.
So me and Charlie, the old 8 and 9.
Oh,
yeah?
Here we go again.
I mean, honestly, the partnership that's talked about to this day, right? And all the while, we were going, wait until we get on that one. Like, we are going to smash that one. So we sat there and we were due up next and we were going, right, we're going to take that one first, do that. Yeah, throw it to the left side. Da 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 da. And we were both just pumped and we were up first and we were like, right, let's do it. Got to the last brick, right? And I mean, it was smooth. It was so ahead of the time. Got to the last brick and Charlie's pile of bricks that he'd piled up was uneven and just fell.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I love the guy to pieces, but I've gone off him a bit. He's upset me. And then one more thing, right? Because like we said, we were going to do an episode, weren't we, that week that you were poorly.
Yeah.
And I've been dying to say this, right? I've been dying to say this, and I'm so glad I thought of it. So there was a supply teacher who came into my school, right? And his name was Mr. Hips, okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, he's covering in year four in the afternoon. He's an older gentleman, but he's covering in year four in the afternoon. And then the next day, I go out for break duty and there's a year four kid stood on the fence missing 5 minutes for reflection time, basically.
Yeah.
And I went over to him and I said, What are you on the fence for? I always check in, like, find out and try and give him a bit of a G up of like, you know, don't do that again. You're going to miss your break. So this kid goes, for talking yesterday afternoon, but I didn't. And I went, you didn't? I went, well, who's put you on the fence then? And he went, the teacher that was in yesterday, Mr. Hips. And I went, Mr. Hips put you on the fence. Well, you must have been talking because Mr. Hips don't lie, right? And I stood there so happy with myself. And the kid just was like looking at me like,
yeah, going like, right over.
Yeah,
right
like
there.
What? And I was like, you've done your time, off you go.
Yeah.
But then every staff member I saw, I was going, gotta tell you this.
Yeah.
Gotta tell you this.
Kept the kid on the wall as punishment for not knowing that reference.
Do you know what? You've done your 5 minutes, but that's Shakira. Get on the fence. But yeah, good times.
Yeah. So, I completely forgot when I was talking about Ostend before. One of the kids talking about, one of the kids came up to one of the teachers and went, so what's happening today? Ostriches are coming in school.
So chilled. So what's happening today?
So what's getting, so
think how excited the kids would be.
If it was ostriches. Probably, yeah.
Go on, say it. They probably do a better job.
But yeah. So, talking point of the week, like teacher talking point, was, so there is an app, if you are a teacher listening to this, there is an app you can download called Teacher Tap. And what it does is every day it will pose questions to teachers to basically gather evidence on certain things. And it's been used in loads of news articles to you know, prove points. And, you know, they ask questions about literally everything. And obviously, the more people who can take part in it, the better the outcome's going to be. Mm-hmm. So it's free to download. It's well worth checking out. Because it's quite interesting if you're, like, in your school and you're thinking, you know, is this normal? What's going on? And this, that, and the other. So a question was asked, and I thought this was really interesting. Imagine you are 21 and graduating from university this year. The following professions are equally available to you and pay the same salary. Which would you advise your 21-year-old self to go into? Teaching, social work, nursing or medicine, police, prison guard, prison guarding, mental health work, law and accounting. Right.
Okay.
So this is being asked to teachers.
Right.
Right. So they did it, first of all, in June 2018, and they've repeated it in April 2024. So, obviously, which one do you think's the most popular?
Now?
Yeah. Well, it's still now and it's still then. No, teaching's still the most popular.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
right.
It's still the most popular. But in 2018, teaching was 58%. So 58% of people would say...
Get into teaching.
Still going to teaching. Whereas now it's 34%.
So a steep decline.
Steep drop. Can you guess which career has had no votes?
At all?
Yeah.
Mental health?
No.
Working?
No, that's actually increased.
I was going to say, I was actually thinking that might have increased.
Why'd you say it?
I don't know. It's a tough question. Which one had no vote? Prison guard.
Yeah. Because I think most of the, like, well, we already do that as teachers anyway. Yeah. Biggest increase. So where do you think that?
Nurses.
Nurse.
Well, Suits is very popular on Netflix, so I'm going to go lawyer.
Law's gone from 16% to 20%.
Right.
So there's a slight increase, but accounting.
Accounting
has gone from 11% to 25%.
Maths. That's rishy, that.
Yeah, but what I was thinking about what's caused that. So basically, there's fewer teachers would go into teaching now at 21 than before, and they'd rather go into, like, accounting. But why? Because it's just like a desk job.
Well, clearly the stress of the job. If you're asking, like, the stressed out teachers, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, well, in an accounting, you're doing admin. But you're doing admin within your working hours.
Mm.
In teaching, you're probably doing as much admin outside your working hours. So, yeah, I just thought that was quite interesting. And like I say, those sort of questions get asked. So just check that teacher tap out. It's the turn of the
week. Just because I take it from Reddit, it doesn't mean I cheat. It's the turn of the week. It's not plagiarism, because I reference my source.
Thread of the week. What do we say we called this now? Thread of the week, social thread of the week.
Did we have a name for it?
I'm sure you sort of... Anyway. What's the smallest...
Thread the needle.
What's the smallest inconvenience that can ruin your day? So, I think there's obviously lots that can apply to teachers.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one that will come to everyone's head. photocopier jamming.
Yeah.
Small inconvenience. Textbook. Ruin your day.
Something small ruined my day today. I've run out of bin bags.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there's something. Go on. Run out of bin bags.
What were you thinking? I was going to say.
Something small that ruined your day. It's like, oh, I.
Why would you bring that up? That's a lie.
No, why have you gone dead high pitch?
I don't know. Just feeling the pressure, you know.
Yeah.
I changed the bin. So I took the bin bag out, put it in the bin, and it had been a couple of weeks. The bin bag was well full. And then I came back to reload the bin. And I don't know if anyone else gets the joy of, or like you have like a bit of stress of like, oh, I'm going to have to try and put this in the bin. I should have cleared the bin a while ago, but yeah. I was like, I was pressing it down, wanted to keep it going. Then sometimes you put something in the bin and you try and press it down, your hand gets covered in sauce. And then the feeling of going to a bin to put something in when it's a fresh bin bag is one of the most underrated feelings going, I think.
Yeah.
Just putting something in a bin that's just free, clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had no bin bag.
Oh,
and maybe. What does my daughter do? Put something in the bin
when there's no bin bag. I'm trying to think if there's any other teacher ones. Like picking up a whiteboard pen that's run out. That's a small inconvenience. Yeah.
Having
to do break duty like, when you forget your coat.
You wouldn't say like internet down. That's a big inconvenience, isn't it?
Well, that is. I don't think I could survive a day teaching now without Wi-Fi.
Another small inconvenience is when you're doing, like you've done all the build up to say like a big write or a test or something like that, and there's a child off. That's a small inconvenience because you're thinking I'm gonna have to find the time assessment wise. Yeah.
Or I thought you were gonna say like you've done all your input, you set the children off, and then the kids like, can I go to the toilet?
Yeah,
or something like that.
That's tough.
But what about outside of teaching then? So bin bags.
bin bags.
This one is a biggie. Password or username incorrect. Which one is it?
So annoying.
Just tell me.
Tell me.
Yeah. Not password or username. Which one? Tell me.
Did you hear the other night that mum got a new phone?
No.
Did you hear this? So mum got a new phone. So then mum gave her phone to dad, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what's coming here?
No.
So then mum's setting it up.
Yeah.
Goes to try and set dad up. And then deletes dad's phone completely.
Oh, God.
All the contacts, all his WhatsApp. I mean, my dad was talking to us like he's like Tony Stark. He was talking to me like, I've lost all my contacts. 800 contacts. I was, no, Dad. No. You don't know 800 people.
And 800 then, contacts? Who's he speaking to?
Me, you, Ryan. And then 797 takeaways.
This is why boomers should not be trusted with tech.
I rang mum and I went, you all right, mum? And she went, yeah, you. And I went, yeah. What's up with dad's phone? Because I tried to ring dad and she went, oh. And then I just heard dad in the background go, go on, tell him. But he was not happy.
Oh, that's not a small inconvenience.
No, that's massive.
Big. Having to pee when you get comfortable in bed.
Yeah. Does anyone else like? I sometimes go to bed at night. I'll do my teeth. I'll do everything, and I'll go to bed and I'll lie in bed. And if I'm not straight asleep, I might think, ooh, could I hold it?
Yeah.
Is it gonna be like waking up in the middle of the night, or is it just a little tickle? And I always go.
Yeah. When you get a part of your clothing stuck on a door handle.
Oh, it's such an embarrassing thing to happen as well.
Do you know the worst? What turns it from a small inconvenience to a big one is when you get it stuck and it rips a bit. Some of the clothes. Oh, it's nothing worse. Nothing ruins your day more than just catching it on a door handle and hearing it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no. that is up there, I think.
Yeah, that's grim.
When you lay down and get comfortable on your couch, only to realise the remote is out of reach.
Oh, yeah, hate it. But do you know, you've got Sky, haven't you? Do you know the old press the middle button and it beeps the remote?
Plus, I use my minions. Sorry, my children. Like, where's the remote? Give me the remote. My sleeve getting wet.
I mean, it's a small inconvenience, but what? Just don't get it wet.
someone walking slow in front of you, but you can't get around them.
Yeah.
Fuming. To be fair, I'm pretty slow at walking.
I walk quickly, mate. I always get told off because I'm like so far away from my wife and kids, but I'm just like, keep up or you'll lose me.
Losing my keys for a couple of seconds when I'm on my way out the door.
What do you mean?
I just don't know where your keys... You're on your way out and you don't know where they are.
Need to take that Britain's Got Talent guy. Yeah. I want my keys. I want my phone. I want my keys.
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
That is just so annoying.
I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before and I'll say it again. Worst invention of technology. Worst...
Self-checkouts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hate them. Dropping my keys as I'm about to unlock the door. Oh, that, yeah.
It's annoying, isn't it? It's not going to ruin your day, but it's just gonna tip you a little bit.
Niche one here. Only green bananas are available to buy for lunch. You know, and they're not ripe
when it makes your tongue go dead dry. Does it do it to you? Grim feeling, that.
Yeah. Mine's random, but when I don't have time in the morning to say goodbye to my dogs and give them equal amounts of love, it ruins my day and I think about them for hours and I hate myself for it. Yeah, it's
just
pretty...
Just do it then. bit of advice for you there. Just do it if you want.
Just do it. Right, on to this week's dilemma.
Yes.
Help me, I have a dilemma. It's causing more pain than a vinegar enema. Help me, please, I need you to. Mr. P, some help from you, please.
So imagine this. I've got a mate whose little darling is in my class at school. My mate and I go way back and have always been quite close. However, this year I've started to struggle as she seems to be trying to take advantage of our friendship so she can get brownie points in the parents' WhatsApp group. Whenever we meet up socially, she turns every conversation on something to do with school, and I feel like if anything negative does get put in the WhatsApp group, she is never defending me. I know for a fact she has shared information about me that I don't really want all parents in my class to know. And to add to the twist to the tale, her little angel, inverted commas, seems to have the impression that having a teacher who's their mum's mate means they've hit the jackpot of getting away with mischief. Her behaviour is shocking, and despite trying to discuss this with my mate, it falls on deaf ears. Obviously, I class her as a close friend, but I feel she's taking advantage of this, which is leaving me exposed and in a right predicament. What would you do? It's like a really low stakes Agatha Christie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Who's been leaking in the...
Yeah.
Who's been leaking in the parents' WhatsApp group?
It's Rebecca Vardy. It's dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Rebecca Vardy. What would I do? I'd call her out. Yeah. I'd just say, listen, we're really close. You know, I want to try and work, you know, make your child come on and things like that. And I don't appreciate you saying stuff in the parents' group. If she then hits it back with any attitude or stuff like that, then, you know, give her child loads of recorders.
Yeah, that's it, innit? Have a little prize box.
Yeah.
Get the recorders. Oh, look at it. He won the prize. And then record. Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Bezzy.
Nailed it.
There you go, Bezzy. Three blind mice all weekend.
Okay, staff meeting. We've got the local authority wants to run trumpet lessons. Any class volunteer? Yes, I'll do it. My class would love that.
It'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Try and have that frank conversation. If she's not having any of it, there's your plan. Sorted.
100%.
And that's why we need you. That's what we're here for, guys. We've got your dilemmas nailed, sorted. So
smashed it.
Yeah.
Got a story. It's probably not as good as Nana Maury's, but tell me your story anyway. I hope it's a hit. If it's not good, then I'ma go reap it from Chip. I hope the Kipper's there too.
Right, on to some stories. So I've just got loads of listener stories.
Well, I've got quite a few just screenshotted of comments from some posts. So if you want me to whistle through these.
Yeah, go for it.
So My son started crying after preschool Easter story day. When I asked why he was crying, he said, because I want to be a Baby Bell, not Thomas. I said, what? And he said, because only baby Jesus comes back to life after they die. I had to pull the car over on the Hold Sharda for fear.
On the what? That's staying in. The Hold Sharda.
God, I love stuff
so
like that.
So tight.
The Hold Sharda.
That's what you get for going out early doors yesterday. The Hard Sharda.
The Hold Sharda.
For fear of crashing.
Oh, ruining that at the end.
No, he made it better.
There we go. When my son was at high school, he was in science class and his teacher said to him, Josh, act your age, not your shoe size. Josh replied, sir, I'm not being cheeky or anything, but you can't use that with me. I'm 14 and so are my feet.
What a comeback.
The whole class roared with laughter. He's 23 now and size 15 feet.
Oh God, I thought you were going to say 23 feet there. Can you imagine?
When my daughter was three, she kept taking her dad's wallet and playing with the credit cards. He would get to the store to pay and realise he had no money or cards. We told her not to touch it anymore. It was on his nightstand and I was getting ready in our bathroom. She came in the room, so I reminded her again. I turned around a minute later and it was gone. I went out to the hall and she was halfway down the steps with the wallet in hand. I said, you have two choices. Put the wallet back or get an ass whooping. She looked me dead in the eyes and said, that's not my choice. That's yours. I had to run back in my room so she didn't see me burst out laughing. My 11-year-old was getting told off for talking in class. His teacher said, why are you talking in the middle of my class? And he replied, why are you teaching in the middle of my conversation?
Boom.
Straight to the head teacher.
Oh, yeah, gotta be.
I once waited in my car for 10 minutes, waiting for a spot to come free. I gave up and went and parked in a different car park. When the day was finished, I went to the original spot I was waiting for to find it empty. I called the police. To report the car stolen. I realised mid-call, hung up and ran all the way to my car. My mum did this once. Went shopping, then came to pick us up from school. Shopping still in the boot. She got us and she was chatting to our neighbour whilst we walked all the way home. When we got home, she fully thought her car had been stolen. Even reported it to the police. She remembered 2 hours later that it was at school. She had to call the police back and explain everything. How did... But this, in terms of, like, car O's, because I think it's all come from those ones where this made me cry laugh.
Right, okay.
My mum went to get her car MOT'd. She decided to get the bus so she could get home okay. Turned up at the MOT centre without the car. I remember leaving school, walking past my car in the staff car park and walking home. I phoned my husband saying the car had been stolen. He kindly reminded me that my car was still at work and drove me to get it. I've got a few here, yeah. A child saw me with my ice cream tub lunchbox.
Right.
And asked me for some ice cream. I said, oh, no, there isn't any ice cream in this. And she said, you're a fat, greedy cow for eating it all. Can you believe that? My son has one arm. And when he was in preschool, my mum went to pick him up as I couldn't. It was wintertime and he had some gloves. My mum came home wetting herself. I said, what's so funny? She said, oh, I feel awful. I picked up his glove and thought he's only got one. Myself and all the staff had been looking for 20 minutes for the other one. When I suddenly realised he's got one arm, there isn't another one.
Jeez.
And then finally, we had a child who had an eye removed when he was small. He was absolutely fine apart from that. But when his mum came in to tell us about it, I innocently said, don't worry, we'll keep an eye on him. Just like the ground to swallow you up.
No.
I love that. Just like trying to be nice. Like, don't you worry. We'll keep an eye on him.
What about this one? I went to meet our Uber Eats driver at the front door. He passed me my food and said, can you give me a thumbs up? So I gave him a physical thumbs up in the air. It was only when I shut the door I realised he meant a thumbs up rating on the app.
Oh, sorry, I've got one last one here. I have two helpers in my class called the Helping Hands.
Yeah.
One day I shouted out, tidy up time. That will be a helping hand job.
No.
I swiftly reworded that instruction. Oh, God.
Oh. I'm just going to work through lots of the stories because we've got so many stories. So when I was a newbie teacher 25 years ago, I bought a goldfish for my tricky year 5 class. Thought it might calm them. The goldfish was going so well at first with rotas for cleaning, feeding, etc. The class genuinely cared about it, although I was starting to regret it slightly as its care was starting to cause some arguments and I'd been left to clean the thing out several times. One morning I came in to find the fish looking very unwell, listless and swimming on its side. It was gasping for breath. Bell rang, kids in, and then panic. The only thing they could think about all morning. You have to do something, miss. It's struggling to breathe. It needs mouth to mouth. We've been doing some basic resuscitation training during Health Week. Well, at least they're listening to what you're teaching. One very smart kid came up with the idea to use a straw to give it mouth to mouth. Of course, I couldn't let him do it. Health and safety, I have standards. So cue me holding the fish and gently blowing into the straw.
Stop it!
A few minutes later, after what scene, it wouldn't work. You can't give mouth to mouth to a fish. You don't breathe like we breathe.
Killing Nemo.
A few minutes later, after what seemed to be
Did it say, I couldn't let him do it, health and safety, I have standards? Dear.
And with absolute silence in the room, the poor thing took its last breath and floated into its watery grave. After feigning deep sadness and using this to discuss circles of life, I'll tell you what, this teacher knows, yeah. Right, let's pivot. Yeah. Circle of life. We all moved on from the bereavement. I think there was a fishy art lesson in there. Using straws. I can't believe this teacher tried to give mouth to mouth to a fish. And I think she knows.
I've heard some crazy stuff on this podcast.
I think she knows because she's trying to make it up with all the cross-curricular learning. Like, guys, I'm actually a really good teacher.
Let me show you my dating profile. It's on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah. It's the fact that there was a fishy art lesson. I mean, that makes me think like a bit of a dodgy art lesson. Something a bit fishy.
Yeah.
Hit the weekend with a huge sense of relief and no blooming fish to clean out. What a week. Monday morning, 15 minutes before the bell, janitor knocks on my door to tell me I have some visitors. Enter two girls from the class with a bag containing a new bloody goldfish. They had bought at the weekend because you were so upset, miss.
Oh, bless him.
And the circle of life continues.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
When the kid's like, I've got an idea. You could use a straw and give it, like, as a teacher, you go, that's a really good idea, but unfortunately, you know, I'm not a trained vet. I don't work with. The teacher literally going, you know what? I like it.
But don't you do it. I'll do it. I'd have been like, go on then.
Oh my God.
See what happens. Lead your own learning.
What would have happened if the head teacher would have walked in, kids gathering round, and you're there with a straw and a fish, like, you can make it!
I have the filthiest dreams ever about my head and deputy head. both male, I'm female. I mean, take Hub and then the weirdest search ever. That's where you'll find my dreams. What I then struggle with is staff meetings, pupil progress meetings, PD meetings, because the whole time I'm imagining everything they do to me at night, dream-wise, and it scares the life out of me.
Get a bit of heart under the collar. I mean, it's now, like, what's it called when you have that staff thing where it's like an appraisal?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
she's like, right, are you ready for your appraisal? Am I?
Yeah.
Come on, then.
I mean, I've heard, you know, this. I recommend playing certain games to get through staff meetings, but that...
Not 50 you know. Shades of SLT.
Yeah. right, you ready for this one? I was a male, single male teacher. My sister came to live in my home. She, like me, suffers from clutter. Anyway, she packed some wrong-sized bras into bags. So she packed some wrong-sized bras into bags and left them at the door of my house. Unfortunately, this is where I left my bags of marked exercise books ready for the next morning. So in a rush to get to school, I bundled the bags into my car, put them into my classroom, and my class arrived. I announced to my class that I'd marked their exercise books, put my hand in the bag, and instead of exercise books, out came a red bra.
Yes.
I had no idea how I came to have a red bra in my classroom. I asked my teaching assistant whether they were hers. She was very offended. But it was an entire week before my sister asked where her bras were. Ah, gotta love it. Right, this one. This is, again, massive O, but classic. The school photocopier happened to be next to the male staff toilet. Every morning, the photocopier was very busy with a queue. The protocol was that the person at the front of the photocopier queue would ask if anyone only had a short photocopy job to do. I was on my way to the toilet, not the photocopier. The person at the photocopier assumed I wanted the photocopier and asked me, "Have you got a lot to do?" I replied, "Thanks for asking. Actually, I had a rather successful evacuation earlier this morning." Right. During my initial teacher training year, I was on placement at quite a rough school. My mentor was a stunning, tall, leggy blonde with a strong classroom presence. Strong classroom presence, in inverted commas. She kept making remarks such as, "I love a big bang," whilst teaching about the big bang, and that'll make your legs shake when teaching about tectonics. On Friday, she invited me to the staff football game. She sat on the desk and kicked off one of her high heels. I said, I'm on bus duty, and left. Driving home, the penny dropped, nearly crashing the car at the traffic lights. My last day of placement and the one chance of living out every schoolboy fantasy missed. Now...
It's a bit of a randy section of stories, isn't it?
Well, if they're sent in, my job's to read them now.
Oh, well, you look like you got something to say. Maybe you flashed your boss or kissed your TA. Maybe a kid in class called you a name, so you marked down their grade. We won't promise not to laugh if you're a member of staff. Cleanse your soul and tell us all of your confessions.
Do you want another mug story?
No.
A lengthy mug story.
Oh, give it me.
So love the recent mug story. And we actually had the picture of the mug sent to us, didn't we?
Yeah, so if you're a new listener or you might just be jumping on this episode, whatever, we had a story a few weeks back, which we won't tell again because it's a long one. But basically, a not very nice member of staff had a mug she was obsessed with. As a bit of payback for the staff member being so vile, she took the mug and then gifted it. Oh, it was the levels.
There was layers.
The layers.
There was layers, right. I love the recent mug story. It gave me the confidence to share my own mug story with
love
you.
Love it.
It's my ultimate teacher confession. At previous school, I had a good relationship with my form group. Some of the students would share their thoughts on other teaching staff. This is fine. Students do that. I get it. We're all not liked by everyone. One of the students in my form group had a strong dislike for a certain teacher. really hated them. They would regularly talk about this teacher and how much they were irritated by them. I'm not sure when exactly, but the student began to take their dislike to the next level. During form time one afternoon, this student came to confess that they had done something funny and it was linked to this teacher. I was intrigued. What could it possibly be? I'm not being funny about this. This teacher's treading a fine line. The staff at my school often used to leave dirty mugs around the site. Tea and coffee dregs left in them. You know what it's like. Teachers are short on time and can sometimes forget to take their mugs to the staff room. The student divulged that they'd been picking up the odd old dirty mug they'd found around the school, and when possible, they would casually sneak out of class to go to the toilet so they could leave a dirty mug on the desk of this teacher when they were not in their classroom.
No.
Yeah. At the time, I thought nothing more of it. The novelty of this would surely wear off soon. Plus, I'd raise the matter with the head of year. Thank God. Thank God. Because I thought she was going to be complicit here. She'd raised the matter with the head of year anyway, so I felt surely things would get sorted out. Over the next few months, things got worse, though. The student was now not only depositing dirty mugs on the teacher's desk they had been collecting, they'd been collecting mugs and growing a disgusting mold culture in the mug before then depositing it on the teacher's desk. I know this because coincidentally, I happened to come across a corner of my classroom where the cups had been secretly hidden to grow mold. Oh. She is complicit.
Yeah, she's just enjoying the ride.
I confronted my tutor about it, warning them that if they got at my tutor group, warning that if they got caught, they have been caught. You're the teacher.
Yeah.
This would be a serious matter. I probably should have sanctioned the student at this point.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
You think?
... I didn't. I don't even think we're halfway through this, by the way. I did, however, consult with a few of my teacher besties about it. They thought it was quite a funny prank. This is why this confession's great, because, you know...
Yeah, no one knows.
No one... Knowing that this was going on, though, and that I hadn't taken firmer action, I now felt like an accomplice. Ah, there we go, right. They have a conscience.
Yeah, the penny's dropped.
I still thought that the student would eventually get bored of it. That's not the way to deal with it.
That's the classic of just like, ah, it'll sort itself out.
Yeah, yeah, sort itself. Besides, it wasn't long until they had... till the end of academic year... when I felt sure it would surely it would naturally come to the end. It did not. To my great surprise, the student started up growing mold cultures as soon as September came back round again. Once again, I consulted with my teacher bestie crew, who all had a good giggle. I decided to speak to the student again and reminded them that if they got caught, they'd be in trouble.
So does she know the student? Like, no.
The student's in her form group.
No, I know, but does she know which student it is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's just doing that classic, like, right.
Yeah, because she said at the beginning.
Well, it was bloody one of us.
Yeah, no, the student said that really disliked this teacher.
Right, sorry, right.
Yeah, the student.
What's the teacher playing at that? I love that she, like, talks to her teacher besties. Why isn't the teacher bestie there going, listen, you need to sanction that kid. It's bang out of order.
Yeah.
Like, but then they're having a right giggle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not being funny, but I'm not getting the best impression of this teacher who's getting the mugs left on their desk. Like, they must be so hated to just let this happen by students and teachers. Right, I also gave instruction that my classroom was not the place to be growing mould, as I didn't want the mould spores in the air. Lol. Actual lol.
But so she's only bothered about the mould being in her classroom. Like, yeah. So that's the only reason she's speaking. He's just like, you know, listen, I don't like it in here, but, you know, put it on the teacher's desk if you want.
After this conversation, I didn't find any more mugs in my classroom and figured that finally the message had gotten through and enough was enough. My guilt was absolved. All was well. Or was it? A few months later, the targeted teacher beckoned me out of assembly. I knew at once what this was about. So did the student, who turned their head to see where I was going and saw the teacher who had beckoned to me. The targeted teacher then proceeded to show me a video clip. They had set up an iPad to catch the student in action.
No! set up an iPad.
They'd been on a course by Mr. No, they're not. I quickly realised that Muggate, as my teacher besties and I referred to it,
had classic.
Had indeed continued and had been also been taken to another level. The student had found another location to grow mold cultures in mugs. Also, they had branched out and started to collect other dirty things to leave on the teacher's desk, like cutlery. In the video clip, I saw the student leaving the most vile mug of mold on the teacher's desk, giggling away whilst also leaving a sinister note on a mini whiteboard using the teacher's own resources. It read, "Ha ha, you've been mugged again." I had to stand and look shocked at the behaviour of the student as if it was the first time I'd ever heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. I can't believe what I am seeing.
This is a disgrace. All the while trying to hold in my laughter at how this had now unfolded.
Do you know what's going through her head there? Wait until the teacher besties hear about this.
Muggate.
They are going to love it.
News of at the end of that assembly, as the students were walking out, the student in question asked me, "What was that about, miss?" I whispered back in a low voice, "They know." News of Muggate quickly started to spread amongst the staff. I was beginning to feel quite anxious now, as the student could easily throw me under the bus for knowing about what had happened and what had been going on. Awkward indeed. What do you think? Do you think she's going to get found out or not?
I'm thinking that the teacher's going to take the iPad and delete the footage and then just be like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah. That evening, I had to work how to approach it. The teacher in question had asked me to keep this on the down low so they could catch the student in action the next day. I felt uncomfortable about this. Where did my loyalties lie?
What? Where did my loyalties lie?
Well, she's too far gone now.
Yeah, she's bit off more than she's
because she's let it lie. She's complicit. So
yeah,
if she
should have nipped this in the bud.
Yeah,
ages
yeah.
ago.
This is a lesson to all of us. Having consulted with my teacher, best
there we are. Hashtag Muggate. They'll be going out, getting a cocktail and a mug and being like, "Muggate bitches."
We felt like it would be best to tip the student the wink and suggest that the student needed to do the right thing and go and apologise, confessing it was a silly joke that had gotten out of hand and that they were really sorry. The next day, I briefed my tutor group on the best course of action, which they diligently followed and executed well. The targeted teacher approached me later that day to say that the student had found them and confessed their silly joke, that it had gone too far and they were very sorry. The teacher said that the student was very lucky that they had a sense of humour. Another teacher might not have seen it that way. I agreed it was very lucky for that student and thought I'd better show support by saying I would contact home to discuss Muggate with the student's parents. That evening, I did call home and explained how a funny prank had gone a little far, that their child had been found out by the teacher who was a target of the prank. I said the teacher had taken it as a joke and that no further sanction would be put in place as their child had apologised. Unfortunately for that child, a relative of theirs was a teacher. The next day, the student came to school with their tail between their legs. Apparently, when the story had been relayed amongst the family, their relative, the teacher, did not find this funny and gave them an absolute roasting about it.
How many Muggate WhatsApp groups has this kid been involved in?
After the roasting given by the student's relative, the student learned a valuable lesson and never again committed acts of sin with mugs at school. Hope you enjoyed my confession. Love the pod. Thanks for all the laughs, guys. Well, thank you so much for that one.
That is incredible.
That was
that was a ride, wasn't it? Every opportunity that teacher had to be a teacher, to be a responsible adult, yeah. She was like, teacher Bess is going to love this.
It sort of reminds me of a TV show where, like, you think you're doing something right, but then you end up in... It feels like a BBC drama where I'm sure, like, Sean Bean would be... I can't remember what it was. I'm sure there's a program where he was like trying to be a good guy and then he ends up getting involved, but he's too far gone. And that's what it's like. It's like innocent to begin with, but then you're in.
You're in.
There's no way out.
No getting out, yeah.
And the only way is to, lucky to get away with that because that student, I mean, you're best giving them the best grades because they could have well and truly dobbed you in it. Right, so that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hopefully will see lots of you on Saturday in Liverpool, and next week's episode we'll do a debrief of that. If you can't make the Liverpool date, remember you can stream the show and tell tour online by going to twomissedpeasinapodcast.com, where you can share your story, share your stories, head over to the Facebook group, get involved there, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Take care.